You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We got to get Trey on the show, guys. What? He just tweeted out, I'm now auditioning to host the Ellen Show. And he's got a... Do you think Trey could host the Ellen Show?
I was up here yesterday writing up the kid from Virginia Tech who is opting out of college football. I wrote him yesterday. And I heard Trey, he's like, what? What's going? No, this can't be happening, Kyle.
And I'm like, Kyle okay. Busch. It's Kyle Busch.
Yeah. So I immediately hit record to see if Trey's going to freak out. He goes, no! And I'm like, is he going to freak out? So I walk in. I'm trying to. And he never really freaked out. He walked out. Hey, Lance, you want to be on my podcast this week? And then I said, well, what's going on with the, what's up? What made you upset? He goes, oh, Kyle Busch spun out. He wrecked. He's done. And I said, oh, is that your guy? Yeah, that's my favorite racer. Well, him and Bubba Wallace. I said, oh, Bubba Wallace is your favorite? I said, is he any good? He goes, he's in a slow car. And I said,
well, that's not a bad thing in a race.
Yeah. And that's, he said, but don't worry. He's going into the 48 next year, which
Jimmy that Johnson. That's yeah, Jimmy Johnson's.
That doesn't mean anything to me. Oh, he's going into the 48. That's mm-hmm. great. So is the 48 like the name for the top?
The old 48s?
Yeah, I don't know what that. He's a. That's Jimmy Johnson's car. Yeah, he's going to retire. He's going into IndyCar. See, Dell's a race car guy because he's from Daytona, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And he said,
"You don't look like a race car guy.
He's been to a race.
I don't know.
He's been to more races than you
I've
have.
I've been to a race. Yeah,
I've been to a race. I was at the Indy 500 in the infield, just getting wasted.
The NASCAR one
was that a NASCAR race?
Loud?
No,
I've been to a NASCAR race. Have you?
I think I might have. I don't remember.
The 48 cars, it's a better team for Bubba as opposed to the Richard Petty team that he's on now, apparently.
Oh, really? And who's who runs that one?
Well, it used to be, I don't know who runs it, but I know it's, Jimmy Johnson used to race in it.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson. And
it's got to be Joe Gibbs.
Trey told me Jimmy's
the
going
Gibbs,
to.
The Joe Gibbs team.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't know
anything
Gibbs.
About it. I know Joe Gibbs is likes racing.
Trey said something. He's going to IndyCar.
Hendrick Sports, who runs it.
Okay.
One of the.
Kyle Hendricks?
I don't think it's him. Didn't he? Which Kyle Hendricks is he the NASCAR driver who said the N word was that?
No,
someone
Kyle
else?
Hendricks is a pitcher for the Cubs.
Who was? What's the NASCAR driver who?
Oh,
said?
What was that one?
I forgot his name. Hendrick Sports Motorsports is one of the preeminent names in NASCAR. So Bubba's going to a better race car.
Rhett Bomar was who I was trying to think of.
Oh,
Rhett Bomar with the car dealer in Oklahoma, but that we wouldn't. Patrick Chastain wouldn't do that. People. I'll put that on Patrick Chastain. He's a great American, all right? That's what he'd do.
And that NASCAR driver was Kyle Larson.
Kyle Larson. Yeah, he was...
he was playing a game. He was playing, like, fake racing.
Simulator or whatever.
Whatever he was doing. He called his, like, crew chief the N-word or something or whatever he did. And that's the end of him.
Yeah. Marble and Granite guys. They might, now those guys... Patrick said, put it on them.
Put it on the
Marble
and Granite guys. Because nothing a senior, there's nothing that a big time running back prospect likes more than a brand new vanity. A brand new granite
right.
vanity in his
dorm
room. Or
he's the old barbecue guys like Yanni. Put it on him. Yanni's too cheap. Forget it. Patrick, that ain't flying, okay? That guy ain't doing it. I'm telling you that. He'd be like, okay, you want a couple beef sandwiches? You want a couple of chopped beef sandwiches? Because that's it.
I mean, that'd be
that's
great.
All I'm giving you.
That'd be great, but ain't no money coming either.
Yeah.
I'd love a chopped beef sandwich, but that's not what I'm looking for all the time.
No, too cheap. Forget that.
So do we think the Pac-12, there's been comments that the Pac-12 is almost its own little planet now where I have no idea what's going to happen. It's always been thought that they'd be the conference of the Power Five that doesn't play. If there's going to be one that doesn't play, it's going to be the Power Five. They're in the same boat as everyone else, though, from a financial standpoint, so I'm not sure how that's going to work. I can tell you that they're in a bad financial state. Stanford eliminated 11 programs, and now they're talking about trying to get a percentage of the revenue. It's just not – it is to use a percentage of the income like you have in professional sports is just not going to happen. They'll tell you, go to pro sports if you want the pro sports model. It's just not going to happen in colleges. Now, I think the first two things they discuss, I don't know how they're going to fix racial inequality in college football this season. So that demand might be something like what the NBA has probably.
I did see. I think they wanted the Pac-12 to invest more in, I don't know if it's black businesses or black community activism per se. They want, considering the demographics of their football teams, they wanted the Pac-12 to be a bigger part of bringing about better things for minority communities. So that's not a huge ask. A lot of organizations or source organizations are doing it. I don't know if conferences as a whole are doing that, but I know that was one of the things. So if the Pac-12, no one's going to fix racial inequality in a matter of a football season, but maybe they don't see the level of commitment that they're looking for.
Yeah.
We don't know. Maybe, it's just maybe, such a generic yeah. term that it's hard to say what that exactly means. So I don't want to.
Maybe the conference donates.
Yes, things like that.
Yeah.
As a show of goodwill.
That's much, much, much more likely than
yeah.
the split of revenue is never going to happen.
That's never happened.
And they can't guarantee that they're not eliminating
So in any negotiation, program, there's give and take. What do you think that they could possibly get out of this, though?
Who?
The players.
I think they can get the first two. I don't think the other three are possible, to be honest with you. The long-term health is a tremendous expense. And you don't know. See, here's the big problem. My wife and I were talking about this, and she said, well, they should be given that. And I said, well, here's the problem. Like Dell brought up this point. You can't, unless you can trace it directly, if a player is doing things to put themselves in harm's way, going to parties, because this is happening a lot, we know that. If you're not wearing masks, if you're going to parties, if you are putting yourself into a more dangerous situation with your behavior, that doesn't mean that happened to you in football.
No, 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 no. But okay, let's say concussions, though. Who was the center that played for Arizona? I'm always asking this. Anyway, played center for Arizona, came here to the Texans, but he had multiple concussions at Arizona. And
University of Arizona?
Yeah, in football. He was a Houston Texan for a short amount of time.
Okay.
Anyway, so he said, I must have had seven concussions when I was at Arizona.
Well, I think that's
so now he's got long-term health yeah. problems.
Well, that has to be handled from, so you have to think about who handles this. That is going to have to be from the NCAA. That has to be handled. The Pac-12 as a conference can't do anything about that. That has to be
right.
an NCAA decision, and they have to start putting money aside. And then you have to have the concern with how many players, we talk about in the NFL, how many are going to file for that? And then you have to be able to prove it. One of the reasons the NFL did theirs is, let's face it, I mean, they had data that showed head trauma that they did not disseminate to the players. This is a major mea culpa. One of the reasons that these big payments came out, and you and I both know
yeah.
Sean Tier, who was on that, and I know you spoke. What did you do? You did something with a group yeah. of.
No, I'm still with them over at Methodist, the Bone and Brain
yeah.
collaboration.
But what did you do?
What do you mean? We meet and we just. So far, I mean, it's just they just give us updates on. We meet
but
about once every
there was
three,
the
four
big,
months.
This is the before there was the big settlement I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. Well, no, no, no. I think the settlement came. I don't know how long ago when okay. I joined this.
Well, Sean, who's the assistant district attorney in the city of Houston now, or Harris County, you see him on TV all the time.
Yeah.
He was on the side of he wasn't doing that at the time. He was a lawyer who was working on that case, that big case for the CTE case.
Mm-hmm.
And so because the NFL withheld some information, that had to turn into a big. You know, that turned into a big lawsuit. And so I don't think you can necessarily say you're going to have the same, because there is a concussion stacking that can happen at an early age. It can happen in college. It can happen in pros. Players have to say what they're feeling. That's one of the problems, is a player has to say, if you are experiencing difficulties, you have to let your team know. And then the team can't just say, you rung your bell, let's put you back in. Because you can have concussion stacking, which causes a lot of the problems. And so I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. I just think a lot of this is really way more complicated than people make it sound. Because I'm for college players. So one of the things they showed is that brain trauma through football is a real thing, right? But after 12 weeks, if you stop, the brain goes back to can go back to normal. I think it was Purdue that had this big study. I was watching on Real Sports. The brain can return back to normal. But the extended season in the NFL, one of their concerns is that as you keep playing, it's harder for it to go back to normal, like for it to recover if you have so many excessive weeks of trauma. And so I think, I don't know if you have the same considerations in college football that you have in pros, but anytime you stack a bunch of concussions, it's a big concern.
Oh, absolutely.
I know the NFL teams really, I'll find out, and NFL teams are much more guarded with this information, but during the draft process, every once in a while, I'll have somebody kind of whisper to me, this guy had like 5 concussions in college. He's off the board. You know, they just don't take chances with those players anymore. If you had a severe amount of concussions, they're just kind of out on you. If you had 2 or 3, that's considered a high amount in college. You know, and so why wouldn't a player?
All right, let's say he falls off a ladder or tears up his shoulder playing football. Now, you're going to have a long-term health deal. The kids need to be able to, if they tear it up in college, if they tore up your shoulder in college, they need to be able to get that fixed if it gives them problems later in life.
Maybe, but they'll have to have a cutoff. Or you have to be vested, maybe. Maybe they say, look, you have to finish with the degree, and then you get it vested. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It's a hard one to me. I don't know how you do that. Can you afford to offer long-term healthcare
for
that many players?
Here's the deal. This is you're not just going to go to these players now and go, well, sorry, we can't do anything for you. Well, then they're going to go, you know what? Then we're not going to play. And you go, okay. Well, then you're not going to. Then you don't get a no coke.
Do 100 teams and 80 players. Do the math on that.
And 100 teams mm-hmm. and 80 players.
So you got 8,000 that you're extending healthcare benefits to. That's just substantial.
Yeah, but not everybody's going to use it, obviously. I mean,
no,
yeah,
but you have to pay for it. I mean, you have to be and who says
you're paying for their insurance now. I mean, it's all you would have to do is extend it. Maybe put a limit of 5 years after or whatever the case may be. You'd have to right now, you know, the kid gets hurt, he gets surgery, the school pays for it.
Well, maybe you say until age 26, like, you know, you can be on your parents' insurance until age 26 right now. Maybe they say, look, we'll give it to you 4 years.
Something, though. These kids are going to have to get something out of this. You're not just going to go to them and say, okay, we can't do anything. Certainly not going to give you 50%.
Well, especially with COVID, but especially with COVID. I don't think this would ever be a movement that would gain any traction, but COVID opens the door because we really don't know about long-term stuff. And so I don't think it's, I mean, I completely understand. Hey, what if they're saying now that there's a greater chance of long-term lung, kidney, liver, you know, heart, and especially heart? Well, then, yeah. I mean, I get saying, wait a minute, we're in a very close, and we're not in a bubble situation. That is a scary thing for, mm-hmm. for
and
football.
We got to go, but this isn't limited to the Pac-12. The SEC had a call over the weekend, and players were involved in it. Not over the weekend, but maybe on Friday, players were involved in it, and players were like, what are you guys doing to make sure we're safe?
Yeah.
And it felt there was a push from administrators and people from the universities. Hey, we need to play. We need to play. And the players like, what, how are you guaranteeing that this won't hurt me long term? So it's not just a Pac-12 thing. Now the SEC players don't have a statement, a mission statement or a hashtag, but I think it's a thing going around all of college football right now.
Well, if they get a hashtag, then it's dangerous. Now it's dangerous.
It just means more?
It does mean more. 814 ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, listen. I tell you what means more. What means more is being able to keep a service and keep a great service and quality without being able to cut price instead of cutting service. And usually we think of when we have to save money and look, we're in the grips of what appears to be a depression coming on. You're going to have to find ways to cut. I've been cutting. I cut some with my television. I cut this. I cut that. You know what I didn't have to cut, though? I cut the money, but I didn't have to cut the service was TGS insurance. And what I'm getting is homeowners insurance for a much lower rate. I've done this 2 different times. I shop it every year. Every year when it comes up again, TGS Insurance shops it again. And they have an aggregated number of A-rated insurance companies that are fighting for your business. And so what happens is when you text the word money to 2323, you are going to be put into the immediate queue of trying to of having companies fight for your business. Now, here's what happens. Because of the algorithms they have with these other companies, they can get you a firm quote back within 15 seconds. Not 15 days, not 15 hours, but 15 seconds. And you can find out just how much you can save. The average savings is $900. So there's plenty of people saving way more than that. But wouldn't you love to have A-rated insurance and yet still get the savings? And by the way, you're going with the underwriters that in many cases are underwriting the big brain, the brand name companies that you're giving your money to as a middleman. Text the word money right now to 232323, and you're gonna be on the long list of people who reach out to me on social media to thank me for hooking you up with a company that's saving you that much money. Text the word money to 232323.
ESPN 97.5. Please, you're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Ellen's gone. You think, is she canceled? Ellen's getting canceled? Yeah, you're on the air.
Yeah, she's in the midst of getting canceled.
Is she? Mm-hmm. But she just put out a statement that said, I didn't know this was going on at our place here. That there was, because we want a working environment that's, whoever's responsible for it, well, they're going to catch it. Oh, it was you. Oh, wait, it was you. You're a biznatch.
No, they're saying it's her three people behind the scenes. These three guys who are like, come on to people. Just reading some of this. Hey, what's that bulge in your, pants? I'm like, nothing. Just keep my, it's just John's giant wallet that he keeps in his pants. It's just John's enormous European wallet that you have for some reason.
Oh, guess what? Giant I don't. I carry my card in here now.
Now, see?
Look at that. Sleek.
Up. He put it in a sleek thing that's on the back of his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look at now. I'm sleek. I'm.
Now, if you lose your phone, you lose everything.
I don't know. Yeah. Right. No. And this is the key to the apartment too.
That's the key to the apartment. Yeah. Why don't you put your car keys on there somehow? Also, to where if you lose it, everything's gone in your whole life.
I'd like to not lose.
You should find your phone on. Huh? On my phone. Do you have it on?
I don't know that.
I was worried that you didn't know that. You need to activate it.
I don't know. How do you need find to download it? Though, no.
We'll do it during a break. You need to have it on. I can check it real easy for you.
I don't know.
But you need to be able to search for your phone in case you leave it somewhere.
I don't know.
Like, that's something I obviously need.
You have that?
Yeah, I have to because I left my phone on top of a gas pump and I was tracking it. I drove off and then it was gone when I went back. And so I got find my phone and I was tracking it. And I can type a message in it like, hey, call me at this phone number. You've got my phone. So in case you look, and no one ever said anything. And then I waited until he got somewhere and I said an extremely ugly message to him.
Mm. What happened?
That I was coming and he all of a sudden like, hey, I think I've got your phone. Do you want to come get it? And I went. It was all down by the Astrodome. And the guy met me. He was inside of an apartment complex and just reached outside of the gate, just gave my phone through the apartment complex to me. I said, thank you. Thank you for picking that up. He goes, yeah, I was just going to see whose it was so I could get it back to him. So, nice.
That's
nice.
Look how nice you are.
I'm glad what a good I reached person. Out to you and kind of set that whole thing in motion.
So where do you find it? Is that an app?
No, it's just on there.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about it.
Yeah. I'll show you. It's okay. Easy. It looks like a radar. A radar on your phone.
And it, but then apps. You don't have your phone, so how do you find it then?
You use your computer. Use somebody else's phone, Wendy's phone.
Oh. What if we all lose our phones? Then what? What if I lose my laptop, too? Then what?
It's too bad, so sad.
I'm screwed. 821 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Rockets looked good last night, people. And the Bucks. I'm going to tell you what. Playing that way against two top. Now, Dallas is They're firmly locked into the seven seed now.
Yeah, they lost to the Suns last night. Dallas continues to not play well in the late. And apparently that was their thing all year long, and the Rockets showed you it, and then the Suns did it too. By the way, before we move on, guess who's in prime position to at least get into the play-in game? The cockroaches that are the San Antonio Spurs. They started off the restart 2-0. The NBA's like, hey, let's add more teams to get Zion in the playoffs. The Spurs are like, excuse me, we're right here. Don't forget about us.
Yeah, forget about them.
No, well, they beat Memphis yesterday, so they're within the range of getting to play them. Memphis has started off 0-2. They lost to Portland. Now they lost to the Spurs. The Spurs are right there, and we're not done with them yet. Apparently,
but they're so boring.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah.
Do they have to even be in the league anymore?
Well. Yeah, you can't just disband a team for being boring.
No, yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
They're just boring. They're the New York Giants.
The Texans would be out of the NFL.
They're the New York Giants. They're terrible.
You mean they win championships every 4 or 5 years?
That's what they do.
Yeah, so why? Oh, that's a horrible thing to be the Giants.
Yeah. No, it is a horrible thing. The only team they can beat is the Patriots. Okay? That's terrible. They're terrible. No, Eli's gone, so it's not going to be nearly as boring. But even with Saquon, they're still boring. They're still, you know, who wants to watch the Giants ever?
Well, if they're good people. People like to watch Giants if they're
good. I really liked the last champion for the Spurs. I thought that was one of the way they moved the ball, the ball movement, and how selfless they were, and how they didn't have one guy that played over 30 minutes a game. That was one of the best teams I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, the new Spurs, unfortunately.
Who knows who they are?
Well, a bunch of young dudes who are playing, and outside of DeRozan, who's the one established guy, because LaMarcus Aldridge isn't even playing. He's hurt. They're just a bunch of young first-round picks playing. And as of now, they would be in the play-in series against the Grizz. We'll see how it plays out the last six games.
Yeah, there's still a lot of time left. And, oh, by the way, I mean, the Rockets are looking great. Listen, it looks like they're better shooters now than they were when they left. I'll take 34% from the Rockets all day, every day.
But that's what they are.
Yeah, that's what they are. But we've seen them up and down now. Well, we've seen James especially up and down. And he still was just...
That'll never change.
He still was just 3 of 12.
But he shot it better the night before. But they were defending them pretty well. I mean, they did a better job of taking away what he wanted to do in the Milwaukee game, not the Dallas game. Dallas game, it was James was not settling, man. He was in the paint getting buckets every single time he was in the paint. His finishing at the rim was just incredible. I'll tell you one thing that's for sure. Right now, these teams are ready to run. They look like they're in condition. The players are well conditioned.
Well, that's the thing, though. Let's see. So now we're playing about every other day. That's the question I was going to ask. Is this advantage Rockets or less of an advantage because they run so much? They play at such a quicker tempo. I wonder if
their tempo is any different than much of the league anymore now. Because James, they pace up now because of Russ. But before Russ was here, that was a slower tempo team the last couple of years with Chris Paul.
Yeah, no, right. That was a slower tempo. But I don't think this is. This just looks fast. Maybe it's not. You know, it is deceiving, but it just looks faster.
Well, but everyone is early offense now. That's the hardest. That's the strangest thing now is to see that it's rare to see a shot clock get inside of single digits, it seems like, anymore. Shots going up earlier. Austin Rivers took a stutter step, shake and bake, one-on-one, step back three that I thought was a terrible shot, and he made it. It's probably from about 29 feet, and he made it. And I'm just like, this is just basketball now. One-on-one, step back, and launch. Because guys are better at it because that's what they work on all the time. See, this is the thing that I try to tell my kids, too. When we try to process generational differences from basketball to basketball, what the younger generation will think, well, then the old generation couldn't, you know, number one, not only were they athletic, but they weren't as athletic as I think this generation, but they were more skilled. Like you had to be a more skilled player. This generation just has to be able to run, jump, and shoot from distance. And there's not as much, you don't have as much of the skill level because there's not as much ball movement. There's not as much defense. You don't have to worry about learning how to find mid-range shots for yourself because it was more compact. It was more physical. You could hand check, which hand check just meant a giant brace was getting ready to get braced up, you know, in your midsection from Derek Harper. But if you had taken 1980s basketball players and 90s basketball players and you said, okay, Maury Ball is the way that everything's going, then they would have been shooting threes in AAU at a younger age. They would have been shooting threes when they're 10 years old, 11 years old. They would have been shooting threes in their college. They would have been shooting threes. You know, it would have been what they did. Their games wouldn't have, the mid-range game would have disappeared then. This is the disappearance of mid-range. And you can see Jeff Van Gundy talked about great scorers, and James fits into this, but great scorers can score. And he was talking about, I think, Chris Middleton at the time. But when you really turn into a good scorer is when you can score on all three levels. From distance, to be able to... No, he's talking about TJ Warren. How Warren got to where he could step out now and shoot from distance where he couldn't do it before. He was a mid-range guy. You got to be able to finish, shoot from distance, and shoot mid-range. You know who could do that? Like Sam Cassell. Sam Cassell was one of the first Rockets that I remember. And I don't know what his three-point... I'd have to go back and look at his percentages. It's not going to be as good then. But Sam had that nice pull-up mid-range. Like Kenny Smith was either... Kenny Smith couldn't score from all three levels. Sam Cassell could score from all three levels.
Are you talking about just guards now?
I'm just talking about anybody. I'm going to an older brand of basketball. Yeah,
it's like Bob Horry could.
Bob Horry was just distance. He couldn't play mid-range.
Well, he took some. Some. I mean, yeah.
He only scored like 7 points a game.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
I mean, but yeah, I'm primarily talking wings and guards, obviously. Yeah. But now, like James, I would argue, I think James has got a mid-range game, but how often does he shoot mid-range?
No, you don't. Chris Paul is the best example.
Chris could do it.
Chris Paul was obviously.
Steve Nash could do it.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Nash could do it. Stockton got where he could
do it. It's a different game now than even then, though.
But James is weird because he doesn't shoot a lot of mid-range, but I bet he could make the mid-range jumper.
So where do you think the Rockets are on field goal attempts per game?
In the season?
Yeah. Per game. No, per game.
I mean, they score a lot. I want to say eighth.
They're seventh.
Okay.
Seventh. But it's funny. I mean, they shoot 90.8. The Pelicans are the highest in the league field goal attempts, 92.1. The lowest is 84.2, Miami. It's not a huge disparity. There's a lot. They're jacking up shots now, bro.
Miami shoots the eyes out of the ball. Yes, that early offense we talk about. Yeah.
Miami is a really good three-point shooting team. Pace of play, you want to look at
there it is. I'm trying to find it.
The Bucks are one, the Wolves are two, the Rockets are four behind the Pelicans.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What were the Rockets last year?
I'd have to...
Probably lower. I'm going to guess way lower with Chris.
That's what I'm guessing.
With Chris Paul.
I think Russ has probably sped it
up. Yep.
They were 27th.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, way lower.
Pure Russ.
They were slow. Even though they scored points, they were still.
Doesn't it feel like this is year two with Russell Westbrook because of how the pandemic has played out?
It's true.
It feels like, remember last year, Russell was, you know, they had a hard time integrating. But this year, they're really doing a much better job of getting Russell, you know, really integrated into the. It's the same year. That's right.
Yep.
I forgot this year's gone on for 10 months.
And you know why? One of the things that we're doing now, it's so funny. Wearing a mask is now so part of our entire being now. I mean, it's just, that's what the world we live in. And you just have to. And one of the things about it is, I'm not crazy about it because I haven't found anything that's comfortable. Well, listen to this. Boomer Naturals. It's a three-layer, comfortable, and highly breathable mask. Now, a lot of people say that they hate the mask because they can't breathe in them. This is a breathable mask. They come in sizes for adults, teens, all different sizes. One reason why they are highly protected is nano silver technology woven into the fabric. Nano silver can block those tiny droplets and particles from getting to the nose and mouth, and that's what we want right now, the best protection. But we want it breathable, and that's what you get with Boomer Naturals masks. You're going to be hearing a lot about them over the upcoming months here on our station. They are a big advertiser now. This is the first time I've been able to talk about them. I'm getting my Boomer mask. That's one of the things. I just can't stand wearing the mask because I'm going to like wearing my Boomer Naturals mask. Go to boomernaturals.com. GranatoBank.com and use promo code Granato, G-R-A-N-A-T-O, and you save 20%. They're washable. You use this mask for a month, and then you get another one. You can it's awesome. Free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at BoomerNaturals.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
833 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-377. I want to hear some people today excited about their Rockets team.
Yeah, or Astros. I was excited about that win when Springer...
Yes.
Put the glove on the last one. I'm like, yes. Man, I was pumped up for them to get that win.
Yes, yes, yes. That was a great day yesterday for Houston.
It's a really good day.
I mean, a great, great day. One of the greatest days in Houston history.
I feel like you're overstating things.
A little bit much, but the beating the Bucks was a big deal because that's a game that usually would out of nowhere get away. I think this neutral site thing is gonna really help the Rockets.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
Because the momentum of a crowd going crazy, I just think the Rockets play their ball, and that's it. Well, I think James...
But don't forget, it was a home game for them yesterday, too.
Yeah.
They had all the crowd noise on their side. Thank you.
Those are live, by the way, because you see the people that see themselves on TV, they're waving.
Yeah, it's live.
Yeah, it's live.
So you get 300 people, I guess. They're season
Why can't we
holders.
Be one? Daryl, I don't want a pizza. I want that.
You can. Season ticket holder?
You have to be... No, you can just sign up for it, I think.
Oh, really?
Oh, I thought you were... I thought they picked... Well, there's 300 that they have. Do they rotate them in? Is that what it is?
I don't know, but you have to actually go someplace. They always run the ads during the games if you want to sign up.
Well, yeah, I guess so. So, all right. So, if you, I want to hear from somebody who is either a cutout at the Astros or who is, if you are a virtual fan, I really want to find out if you're a virtual fan for the Rockets. Give us a shout at 713-780-3776. We want to ask you some questions about that. 713-780-3776. It is interesting to see him just standing there as a computer. One guy's just got his junk all hanging out in front of the... It's not literally hanging out.
What are you talking about?
He was just sitting there, like the camera's there, and he's like this, and it's a low camera shot. So it's just like, dude, it's just a shot of... Like, raise the camera angle up a little bit.
What are you doing? What are you talking about?
It's just a crotch shot.
I don't need that.
It's a virtual fan crotch shot. That's not what we're signed up for.
No.
That's not what I haven't signed up for that at all. That's not. I don't want your OnlyFans page, Daryl, Kevin, Gary.
Well, let's not knock Kevin or Gary. Let's wait to see what content he's providing first. Just knocking him for his OnlyFans page. Maybe he's got good stuff on there.
You don't. Well, I don't want to see his OnlyFans.
I don't want to see the page.
What?
I don't know what he's putting on there.
What?
I think you're jumping to conclusions.
I just know this.
I don't want to be on a guy's OnlyFans. I don't even know what it is.
Look, I'm just telling you. I think the NBA's handled this great. I like the setup. I like that there is some ambient noise in there. To me, it makes a big difference. I don't know. There's just I like the way the broadcasters are calling the games. I mean, Mark, it's the same. Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson and Breen are so good together. It was fun watching them on that broadcast.
Give me more Doris Burke, please.
You like Doris?
Yeah, Mark Jones and Doris. I mean. Let's be real here. The Mark Jackson JVG thing, enough already.
You don't like it?
No.
Don't you like it? Who do you want? Who do you?
Doris Burke.
You want Doris Burke on the number one?
Yeah.
No.
If we're talking about basketball, yeah. Because
Doris knows her basketball.
Because these guys are like, well, there's all this interplay between these two for things we don't even care about. How often does it evolve into non-basketball stuff that's going on the floor?
It does sometimes, but sometimes Texans talk. But
randomly.
Van Gundy, he does add, and actually Mark Jackson challenged him on something where Van Gundy didn't talk enough about Giannis closing out a high screen and roll where Russ split them. And he's like, man, he basically said the old Jeff Van Gundy would have mentioned that. And he goes, I'm glad that you keep me in check. But I don't know. I still like their interplay. I mean, I still like the TNT crew interplay. I still like Van Gundy. And I get more out of Jeff Van Gundy than Mark Jackson. Mark doesn't always add a tremendous amount. But regardless of that, and Doris Burke, I think, does a great job. Mark Jones is fine. I mean, I like the broadcast crews. I like the setup. The camera angles give you what you need. The virtual fans are fine. There's nothing. I think what I really like is that they don't have travel. So you're getting fresher legs. You're getting fresher legs and you're getting guys who are a little more spry. Here's the thing, though. It's important because Daryl made this comment to us when he was on with us last week to talk about my MVP. Daryl did
talk about pizzas.
He also mentioned the pizza thing, but he did mention, he kind of threw in about bubble next year. And the latest, I hate saying this, but the latest vaccine stuff is early 2021. Well, if that's the case, there's a pretty good chance they're playing bubble ball again next year. And even with the vaccine, you don't know how successful it's going to be. There's a lot of things you don't know. I think it's more than likely with the success of this, and this is a very short-term solution, I think we could see bubble ball again in 2021, and they might even alter schedule like baseball did. We may not be able to get it at full 82 because maybe players won't want to stay that long. And let's face it, they have to start up. Even if they start up by Christmas, there's not a tremendous amount of time off before they have to crank basketball back up. So maybe shortening that season would be something. Shortening the season, but making sure that they have plenty of, you know, rest days. Maybe that's something the NBA will consider next year. But I'm starting to think they're going to have to play in the bubble again next year.
I can see months in, months out. I can see a 2 month in.
Yeah.
And then we
depending on
we
the
pull
success.
You out for a month.
Yeah. Because they don't want to just
really?
Throw.
I don't see not, that. Either you're going in or you're going. You're not.
No, I mean, everyone has to get retested again and then make sure you're clean. We'll do this again. I don't see them putting.
Oh, like a break? Maybe that's when they could do the tournament thing.
Because I don't see them putting those players who've already done it, well, at least if you make the finals until October, into another bubble situation for from December to when.
It's a lot.
Well, yeah, that's a different deal. Now it's just a couple month there.
Yeah, and not everyone's going to have to be in there. You're going to put those guys in for an entire season?
Yeah, that's why. Listen, baseball rejected it. Said we ain't doing a whole season like that.
But that's why if you cut the games down from 82 to 62 or whatever number it is, you might be able to, and you work off a winning percentage and however you want to set it up, you might be able to have that break. You might be able to have an extended break instead of an all-star break, or maybe you do have an all-star break at the bubble, but you have an extended break where players, you have 2 weeks off instead of a certain amount of time, or maybe you have 3 weeks, maybe you have a month off. Now, it does allow for guys to
get sick.
But maybe
we thinking by early next year, by February or so?
You're hoping it's not as big a deal. What I'm worried about is
we're going to have a vaccine.
But even if you have the vaccine, people are still going to get it, same way people get flu.
So then it's going to be like the flu, though.
Right.
So people are just going to get it.
No, is it, or is it the media going to cover it differently? Like, huge fear, huge outbreak is happening.
And I don't care what the media.
You don't think you'll see stories that say that?
Yeah, that's all we see now. Oh, he tested. Doug Peterson tested positive. He's asymptomatic. So what? So what? He tested positive. And? I mean, like, it's a big story. NFL coach. Who cares?
I don't understand why that's a huge story.
It's not. I mean, that's what I'm saying. And if we have a vaccine, right now, well, he's out. Flu-like symptoms. Michael Jordan played in a game with the flu or whatever he had. I mean, the flu is dangerous. It's still dangerous because you could die from the flu, but it's the flu. And that's what this is going to be at some point. If we have a vaccine.
Do you get flu shots every year?
Did you get a smallpox shot when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you did. Yeah. And now that's going to be part of our life. When you're a kid, you're going to get the shot, the COVID shot. Oh, well.
Well, you're going to get it every year.
Maybe, like, or not. Or maybe once. How do you know?
No, they said it's just like the flu. You're going to be getting it. It's an annual shot.
Oh,
it comes back.
But I don't get a flu shot.
I don't get a flu shot. I will get both from now on.
You will?
I'll get flu. I'll for sure get COVID, but I'm going to get the flu from now on. Yeah, they want you to, because if you get the flu, you can't have both. If you get the flu, it knocks down your immune system and it makes you really vulnerable. So, yeah, I'll get both. I don't think I've ever had a flu shot.
I haven't.
I maybe had flu once.
Again, I don't even.
Because as I understand it, it gives you flu-like symptoms.
Yeah, that's kind
of right.
Oh, yeah.
How right.
It works. Yeah, I don't. I've never had. I don't think I've ever had the flu. I've just colds.
So this is a true story. I left my phone. Jeff Nally's reminded me. We were going to an Astros game. He goes, was that the time you left your phone in the taxi when we were going to the Astros game? No, that was a separate time. I left my phone in a taxi going to the Astros game. I don't remember how I got that back. I left my phone in a taxi at the when we were at UFC in Las Vegas.
In New York, you did?
In Las Vegas.
You did one in New York, too, didn't you? You left your phone in a cab in New York, too.
I left it in Cuba.
In Cuba, but I think in New York you did, too.
Did you leave an iPad or a phone?
I was in Florida. I left an iPad on the planes. I left an iPad on the plane in Florida.
What about your bag?
We were going to Key West. I left my bag in New York. So I left my suits.
Your suits?
I left my suits.
Well, that's because you went to the bathroom.
No, it was the same trip. I was disheveled. I went to the bathroom.
Disheveled.
Oh, wow.
He's disheveled.
Here, this is
Lance was disheveled.
I'm going to tell you something.
Water is wet.
When we come back, I will tell you about this is the I don't even think it's funny anymore, but I recognize that
so funny.
It is. I put myself in this position to be made fun of, and there's nothing I can do about it because this is on me. Jeff made me just remember. I'd forgotten about the Astros where I left my phone there. There's one coming back from the Super Bowl. Basically, if it's an event, there's a pretty decent chance I will lose.
Why can't Nicole hold your stuff or something?
I'd love for her to.
But she's not a good wife then, if she doesn't.
She doesn't put I don't have enough room in my purse. You hold it. Oh, man. You know this is trouble.
I'm sorry. If you know that your child, Lance, he can't keep his stuff without losing it, then you have to take it from
him. It kind of is on you. But you know what? This is what this is where I feel like I come out the winner. Because I built her a patio. I didn't technically build it. I might have been able to. It would have taken me longer than Texas Custom Patios, and I wouldn't have done as good a job as Texas Custom Patios. Texas Custom Patios, they do something that to me is unbelievable. They have the ability to take their CAD system that they design your patios, and they can show you exactly what your patio is going to look like. And I mean exactly. It's an amazing process that they're able to do. And Steven, who is the owner, and he's got designers, they're able to handle virtual initial appointments during COVID. And this has been a big hit. Number one, it allows quicker, back and forth between the owner who's looking at a new patio and the good people over at Texas Custom Patios. And they're able to do everything there. It's very, very safe. Yes, they can come out to your place, but they can also take care of you virtually, and you get all the information you need. If you want to go see what your home can look like, your outdoor living space, go look at TexasCustomPatios.com. You're going to be blown away. They do patios. They do home kitchens, or outdoor kitchens. They do sunrooms. There's so much that they do that is going to add value to your home. You're not just chunking money in there like for a swimming pool. This is going to add just value, and it's going to add a great deal of pleasure. And with all the quarantining and staying at home, so many people have been really made aware that their outdoor living space is something they really would love to take advantage of. It's something we take advantage of on a regular basis. To get a free quote, go to TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com. Or give them a call today at 281-265-1994.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Three years ago, Dell used to was walking around the hall. Oh, you see Giannis? Did you see Cespedes, what he's doing?
You
see Cespedes? And now, look at him.
He's
sucks.
All on Cespedes.
You were all over, slobbering all over him.
Can I just ask why you would lie so blatantly about me talking about a baseball player randomly? Why would I bring up Cespedes to anyone?
He's opting out because he sucks.
And I don't care about Cespedes. Why would I care about a New York Met?
That's your guy.
No, he's not. There's no guy in baseball that's my guy. I wish they all opt out so we can stop talking about him.
So this is kind of a weird thing. So Cespedes, was reported yesterday in the middle of the day. They couldn't find him. They didn't know where he was. They were worried. They were very worried about him. The Mets were. And then
he was just
it comes out
eating.
The general manager is like, oh, we ended up hearing from his agent, and he just never reached out. I guess he's a, you know, his health is our number one concern, and I guess he's going to opt out because of COVID. You can almost just, let me just tell you, he had 31 plate appearances and 15 strikeouts. That's Jonathan Singleton territory. That's not great. And this, and then he was being benched. It almost feels like somebody said, where are you, Giannis? I'm not coming in. Well, you can't just say you're not coming in. You can't just quit. His agent's like,
opting out.
Do that. Then give me the COVID thing. Whatever, they do the COVID thing. Opt out for COVID reasons? Yeah. But have you been tested? No. But okay, well, but you're worried that you might get it, right? Yeah, because of the amount of baseball players now in certain organizations and it's spreading. That's your big concern, right? Yeah, whatever. Just do the COVID thing.
You keep asking me questions. I said do the COVID thing.
Just do the COVID thing.
That's it.
Okay? I still get paid, right? Yeah, if you opt out because of concerns over COVID, but do not tweet anything. Don't put your stuff on Instagram. Just, okay, let us handle this.
Did you guys see? Oh, what happens when you stand for the national anthem?
Well, depends on who articles. You are. You have articles written about you.
You could be Myers Leonard and have articles written about you, or you could be Jonathan Isaac.
And tear your ACL. How's that?
Did Jonathan
they had to
Isaac,
wheel him off.
Jonathan Isaac tore his ACL?
Tore his ACL.
That's not, I don't mean to laugh, but.
You kind of giggled.
I did giggle. I don't know why I did, but it's just like, wow, that's bad luck.
And here's the headline. NBA's Jonathan Isaac tears ACL 2 days after anthem standing demonstration.
Shut up. That is not a headline.
Oh, do you think it's a coincidence?
Yes, I do, actually.
No, that is the headline.
I guess Myers Leonard is going to tear. Actually, Myers Leonard didn't even play in the
guess
game,
what?
So maybe that's why he didn't tear his ACL.
So that was interesting. So Myers Leonard, and I thought that was a very grown-up thing, the way the whole thing was handled. He explained, so the undefeated Mark Spears came and asked him about standing up. And Myers Leonard said, look, this is something I talked about with all of my teammates or the leaders of the team and some other people who are outside of the team setting. He said, I have family members who are Navy SEALs. And he said, for me, this national anthem does mean service. And, you know, he said, but I don't think kneeling means you're disrespecting the service. And I don't think kneeling means that you're disrespecting the flag. He said, I want to make that very, very clear. For me, this is my personal choice. And I was, you know, I believe in for people having their personal choice, and being an a-hole is being an a-hole, but having a personal choice about especially this issue, you would hope that we could get to a level where people could respect other people's personal choices and being less judgy. To their credit, the Heat and Myers obviously handled it the right way, going and talking to the team leaders and things like this so that they knew where his heart was, what he is, and they spend all the time with him, so they know the dude. You had two guys with their arms while he was standing and had his hand over his heart. Two teammates on either side had their arms wrapped around his legs. Instead of arms interlocked, they were to show that he was part of their solidarity. And that was nice to see that it didn't turn in, at least I didn't see where it turned into a great big thing, because that's his choice to honor people and do it the way he sees fit. And he's not making comments on anyone else's. And his teammates obviously had his back, and it was good to see something happen like that where it wasn't a big deal. I didn't see where Jonathan Isaac took a bunch of crap, but I did see his rationale. Where
it didn't make a lot of sense to some people.
I was a little more confused about that. It was a religious thing, but whatever. But that's his choice to stand, so yeah. He can do.
I'm telling you, well. Now, again, from when it was Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed to now, it's if you stand, you're the story.
Yeah. I'll admit, I was looking at the Rockets game like, I wonder if anyone's standing. Nope, no one's standing. For either game.
No.
The Bucks or the Mavs.
The shirts that the coaches are wearing are kind of cheesy, though. They got, like, polo shirts, but it's got a terrible Black Lives Matter.
Like, hello, my name is Daryl. Mike.
I am a Rockets coach, Black Lives Matter.
Well, you mean when they're standing or when they're coaching? Overall?
Coaching.
Oh, I think it's like Coaches for Racial Justice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like a badge.
But it's a
patch. It's a badge you get whenever
attached.
You're going to one of these.
My name is Mike.
Like whenever you're going to, you know, one of these seminars.
Yeah.
So you got a seminar badge. Hey, here's your racial.
Make a nice shirt for
Here's
him.
Your racial justice seminar. Here's your racial justice seminar name tag. There we go.
A plastic just little thing that. With a pin on it. How about make him a nice shirt?
Yeah, I don't know. Because if you look at the players, at the Black Lives Matter shirt, but it are they? But they don't have like NBA logos on or anything. Is that why the NBA didn't do it? Because it's official polo of the NBA, so you can just put a patch on it. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I'm sure why they didn't actually make a shirt.
I don't know. It looks like a mechanic patch.
Yeah, I don't know, because you know the players get to wear are wearing the Black Lives Matter shirt. That's another reason why I think Jonathan Isaac got criticism. Not only did he stand, he didn't throw on the shirt. Myles Leonard did do that. And then he went on to talk about how my religion is all lies. He pretty much dropped the my religion says all lives matter. And people are like, okay, Jonathan, whatever.
Well.
Okay.
Well, we now guess what happened?
What do you mean?
Hurt.
I don't think one had anything to do with
the
other.
Took out his knee.
Who did?
Some of the guys. I don't know.
No, not some of the guys.
Or the floor.
You can the floor took issue with him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the floor does have Black Lives Matter on it.
It does.
Maybe it got offended.
It's pro-Black Lives Matter. Huh. Jonathan, beat it.
I'm not going to attach human thoughts and feelings to a floor.
No. You don't have to. Kind of.
But you will?
Kind of is.
Do you think your microphone is thinking about taking a shot at you right now?
It's got a condom on. It feels protected.
Maybe it's not in the condoms and you forced it on him.
Well, oh, this mic wants to ride bareback?
Possibly. I don't know. Did you ask it? You don't know. You don't know. Did you ask?
How about Jackie goes, speaking of the Myers Leonard thing and his, you know, his about why he stood and this, that, and the other. Jackie's like, Drew Brees has to be saying, what the? I mean, for real. Malcolm Jenkins was yelling at me and trying to embarrass me on all Twitter and saying all this stuff.
And look.
And Myers Leonard has guys like hugging him and what the?
Well, I'm going to play basketball. Drew's like, I'm going to play basketball from now on. I can stand.
40-year-old and 6 feet tall. Good luck with that. Well, I don't know. Myers, like you said, he had a conversation. Now, Drew Brees is given, we know the money he's given to the New Orleans community. Apparently, Myers Leonard has donated money to black causes as well. So, at least black causes. So, he's got a little cushion.
Didn't he just give another $5 million? He's like, here, any more? How much more you guys need?
Just leave me alone.
Can you guys leave me alone? Just leave Can me. I get that TV job again? Here's another $5 million.
He's going to. Well, he'll make up the salary if he gets the TV job. He'll make that money back. But
yeah. We'll make that money back.
But yeah, Myers Leonard, he's at least as far as the Heat Nation is concerned, he's all good. Other people might have a problem with him, but as within the Heat fan base, they're all good with him too. So this will probably go away for him really quickly.
856 ESPN 97.5.
Eric Decker's on a different level.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, his wife's on a different level. Yeah, she's pretty good. She's pretty good.
It's amazing, man.
Somebody said, that's the thong we want to see, John. Not your golfer guy, Brooks Koepka.
The Brooks Koepka thong?
Yeah. No, we don't want to.
That is not.
I appreciate John not making assumptions about what the listeners might want to see. Maybe there are listeners out there who are fans of the Brooks Koepka thong.
Brooks Koepka made me some money this weekend, boys.
Where is this? Like, how are these pictures being taken in a quarantine? Are TMZ camera guys just out just trolling around, or is this?
I'm sure they called
them. Oh, yeah. What TMZ camera guys are always out.
No, I'm pretty. Look where this shot is taken. I'm sure they called a photographer over there to take the pictures. This ain't. They're like right up
they're
on
inside,
them.
Yeah. Well, they could zoom camera.
They called someone. Hey, guess what we're going to be doing? Take some pictures. Like, it's not like Eric Decker's playing football. Do they have some. Like YouTube show.
Eric Decker is jacked, though.
Yeah, he is.
I'm trying to figure.
He's in pretty good shape.
What's the move? I'm sure they've got a YouTube influencer thing going. Hey, come take pictures.
Time for me to talk. How about Patrick Chastain was listening this morning? He's like, hey, get off car dealers. Car dealers, well, nobody's as good. And I'm going to tell you this. He is an honest. He's a Coug, though. And you Coug fans out there, you buy from Chastain because he does. He donates to the program. He takes care of the football and basketball guys. He's a big Coug fan. And if you're looking for that guy that you want to support here in the city of Houston, if you don't know the Chastains, if you meet the Chastains, one of the things you're going to say is what nice guys, what great guys they are. And you're going to join the Chastain family. Because this is what happened. I feel like I joined the Chastain family. They take care of me. They send me emails. Hey, well, you need a oil change or whatever it is that they need. But the main thing was is that I got into the car that I wanted that I love at the price I needed to be at. And you can do that now, too. What you need to do is go to ChastainFord.com. You can shop virtually if you're scared of going out or whatever. They will bring a car to you that you can test drive. They will pick up your car if you need it serviced. They will fix it, and they will sanitize it, and they will bring it back to you. It is unbelievable the level of service that you get at Chastain Ford. And, oh, by the way, the price, too. And with this, with the nothing down, no payments for 6 months, and 72 or 84 months of interest-free, it's unbelievable. There's never been a better time to buy, and these guys are the best in the business. They're the number one Ford truck dealer in the city of Houston. That's big. Commercial Ford truck dealer in the city of Houston. That is huge. ChastainFord.com. It's on Homestead, not Hempstead, on 610, just 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.